So before I begin the class, I'm going to kind of explain a little bit about what my idea is for these classes. On Wednesday, I'm going to do the Chaitanya Bhagavat. And on Sunday at 11 o'clock, I'm going to have like a special seminar. This class will have to end by 8:30 or so. And the one on Sunday at 11 o'clock can go can go a little bit longer. That's the way we'll do it. I also see a kind of a benefit of what's going on now. With this coronavirus, it's somehow or other, and I don't know what the future holds, but it's giving devotees kind of around the world an opportunity to chant and hear about Krishna like no other time I've seen. It's inspiring me now to give more classes like this. And it reminds me of what Rumi said. He said, when God is digging a well to throw you in, no, digging a ditch to throw you in, he's actually making a well to quench your thirst. We can't underestimate the value of this opportunity. Almost like it's worth whatever sacrifice we have to make to get it. And I'm just feeling like that in my own life. I mean, I'm here in my Bhajan Kutir at Kadamba Mala's house. Ideal circumstance, even in the little downstairs here where I'm here alone, they have a temple room with beautiful Tulsi. I can sit in front of Tulsi every day, chanting, which is just ideal, and do what's called Niyama Seva, which I do during Kartik. Niyama Seva means Niyama, of course, Yam Niyam. Niyam means regulations. How you control yourself. And Niyama Seva means, I joke, I said, it means kind of boring life. Boring life means, in Krishna consciousness, no, it's actually exciting life. Do the same thing every day. Same, wake up the same time, chant at the same time, read at the same time, worship at the same time, write at the same time. And by that, activity, you're able to go deeper and deeper in Krishna consciousness. I mean, that's the benefit of regulation. Regulation means you reserve a time and a place for Krishna. That means concentration. And that's the benefit. The world as it was moving so fast outside, and now it's going so slow, but so fast, there's no time. So now let's do Chaitanya Bhagavat. I think it's chapter 18, Madhyalila text 202. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Esabalilara kabu avari nahoi. Avirbhav tirobhav veda matrakoi. Although the Vedas describe the Lord's appearance and disappearance, there is actually no end to his pastimes. Om Agana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhyastam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sa Padantikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyas Cha Kripa Sindhu Bhayeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Well, greetings from New Jersey. Here, this particular verse says, there's no end to the Lord's pastimes. Because what's going to happen now, it described the Lord's pastimes. And some we can understand and some we can't understand. It's just like a girl of 5 years old. If you show her a romance on TV, she doesn't have the maturity or experience to understand it. So like that, sometimes the Lord's pastimes are difficult to understand. Also, he's not under our laws. God is not under our laws. This world is the world of cause and effect. For example, God is not under time. But we can't conceive of anything not under time. God is not confined to space, but all our perceptions and understandings of how things are things work under the law of time and space. So sometimes the Lord's pastimes are a little bit difficult to understand, or they require a prerequisite of maturity. Actually, I started this Chaitanya Bhagavat about a month and a half ago. And basically, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes are accessible. It's the same as Krishna Leela in the sense that it's the same mood, but the form is different. In Krishna Leela, it's the rasa dance. And there's a certain mood in that, which is not mundane. Krishna's dancing with the gopis, it's not mundane. But in Gaur Leela, it's Chaitanya and Nityananda doing kirtan with the devotees. The same exact thing is there. The same exact thing is there. The same love is there. The same essence is there. The same music is there. The rasa dance is music to inspire the feelings of love. In the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's music to inspire the feelings of love. And it's the exact same love with the exact same personalities in a different form. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not different than Radha and Krishna. Lord Nityananda is not different than Balaram. The associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are not different than the associates of Krishna, but the form is different. And in Gaur Leela, which is 500 years ago, it's accessible. We can't emulate the form of the Ras Leela, but we can emulate the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, which is the kirtan and chanting and dancing. So there's a certain accessibility, but at the same time, sometimes because it's on a different platform, it's a little difficult to understand. Like we had the past time we were reading, it's Mahaprabhu dances as a gopi. And even in that past time, Nityananda is Balaram. He's the servant to Godhead, but he's an avadut. An avadut means that your behavior does not conform with the expectations of the external world because it's not coming from your intelligence. It's coming directly from the soul, from the platform of eternal bliss. So if we try sometimes to compute and understand those pastimes in terms of the corresponding activities we have, we will misjudge those pastimes. So what's going to happen right now after describing these pastimes, which are so beautiful because everything, it's Chaitanya Charitamrita, is the biography of Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya means life force. Charita means character. Amrita means in eternality. What is the character of the life force in eternality? And we see it's so beautiful because it's all about love. It's all about sacrifice. It's all about surrender. There's no selfishness involved. And therefore, in that kind of mood, the exchanges of love, I always describe the point that just like the sun is heat and light, and we can experience heat and light, it's so powerful, the sun, but if we put an umbrella over our head, even though it's very small, it can cover us from that experience. So the same thing, even though God's love is so powerful, our false ego, our desire for superiority can cover us from that experience. But in Chaitanya Lila, there is no false ego. No one has a conception that I want to become Chaitanya. Everyone has the conception, I want to be the servant of Guru and Krishna. And in that mood, the love flows. Some of you have, many of you have been to either my Puri Yatra or my Bhakti Immersion, the Puri Yatra, where we try to recreate Gaur Lila. We try to have community where the common interest is so strong. The common interest is so wonderful. The common interest is so organized. The common interest is so spontaneous that people can drop that self-interest and that impulse for superiority. And when you have that type of community, then the exchange, that energy that we want to live in, that energy that we want to absorb ourselves in, we can feel it. The prayojana, the goal is to feel our connection with God. And when we take away the covering of that ego and we can feel that connection with God, then there's an ocean of transcendental bliss. An ocean of transcendental bliss. And the devotees are feeling it. And what the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is, it's supposed to duplicate that. Communities are very difficult, but that's our goal. I think we have a very nice community here. And I think when we hear Krishna Katha, there's a blessings of Krishna. In the Bhagavatam, it describes Shrindata Swa Kata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hidyanta Stoya Bhadrini Vidinoti Saritsatam. That Shrindata Swa Kata Krishna Punya Shravana, that hearing is very pious. Punya Shravana Hidyanta Stoya Bhadrini, and it's so auspicious. Vidinoti Saritsatam. Then Saritsatam. For those devotees that are suited close in heart to God, who come together to chant the holy name, vidinoti, it cleanses the heart. It cleanses the heart of the things that cover it from experiencing reality. Reality is beautiful if you can experience reality. And you can experience that exchange with God. So these pastimes, these pastimes they're so very blissful. But in that mood sometimes, in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then sometimes that bliss moves one in a way that is not commonly, that doesn't conform to the social expectations. And therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj, Rasika Bhaktamaj, Krishnadas Kaviraj is going to explain it, that this is something different. Because if you just hear Leela without the tattva or the explanation, you can take it in the wrong way. And if you take it in the wrong way, you'll misunderstand it. And if you don't understand it, you won't feel it. You actually have to understand it to feel it. Because if you have a misconception, you won't be able to perceive it properly. And therefore, you won't be able to have its effect. So he says here, describes the Lord's appearance and disappearance. There's no end to his pastimes. In other words, they are eternal. And there's a classical example that helps us to understand it. A classical example that helps us to understand it. Just like the sun appears and disappears. But when the sun appears and then it rises in the sun and it's no longer dawn, it does not mean that the dawn of the sun is gone. The dawn of the sun is someplace in this world. It's someplace in this world. And the sun sets, and then the sun, we don't see it on the horizon. But it doesn't mean that the sun setting is gone. In some place on the earth planet, the sun is setting. So simultaneously, the Lord is appearing, the sun is appearing, the sun is disappearing, and at the same time, it's always appearing. It's always disappearing. It's always noon. It's always 4 o'clock. So it's explaining that the Lord's pastimes are like this. They're manifest someplace in the universe at all times. Lord Vishrambar, the King of Kings, performed such pastimes in Nadia. So he's Maharaj Rajeshwara Prabhu. Maharaj Rajeshwara, the king of Ishvaras, the king. This is not ordinary. Just because you can also sing and dance, it doesn't mean, and Lord Chaitanya sings and dances, it doesn't mean he's the same as you. And what to speak of his other pastimes? All gross and subtle elements in the entire universe are manifestations of Lord Chaitanya that later appear separate. So Lord's pastimes they're not ordinary activities. Jadmad yasya yaton vayad itaritas. It is he from whom else everything else is coming. And I love the point in one of Prabhupada's purports that Krishna does not have the defect of impersonality. He doesn't have that defect of impersonality. I always tell a story, maybe you hear it again, but I find, even if you heard a story before, if it's used in a different context, it becomes relishable. And I remember when I first got the Krishna book, when we joined the Hare Krishna movement, we didn't have all these books. I remember the first Bhagavatams that I got, Prabhupada had chapters printed. I once you got past the first canto, the second canto wasn't printed. So I remember I got a chapter of the Bhagavatam in the Brooklyn Temple on Henry Street when I was visiting there in 1970, called Purusha Shukta Confirmed. You know, and then the cause of all causes. So we didn't have the Krishna book yet. We didn't have. I remember when the Chaitanya Charitamrita came out. Wow, the devotees were in bliss. They were so eager. They never had these books. It's so good when new books are coming out. So I was in college, and my friend, who is my college roommate, we met devotees together, but he stayed there and he moved into the temple. But he had to dodge the draft to do that. So he came back to visit me, and he left me with a Krishna book. And I remember I didn't go out that Saturday night. I just was reading the Krishna book. And then I remember the second chapter, the demigods appear, the prayers of the demigods, and they're glorifying Krishna as the supreme absolute truth. They're explaining his Aishwarya, how everything's emanating from him, and it goes on and on, these wonderful prayers. And then I continue to read, and then there was Muckenshaw. Krishna was stealing the butter. And I kept on reading. And then at the time, I was studying philosophy, and when I was studying philosophy, they had a definition of God. That being of which no greater can be conceived. And I said, yes, this must be Krishna, because I can't conceive of anything greater than a supreme Lord, all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, creator of the whole universe, who also has a family, who also has girlfriends, who also has a mother and father, who also has friends, who plays in the forest, who herds the cows, who plays the flute and that peacock feather. If Krishna didn't have a peacock feather, he wouldn't be God, because I could think of something greater, and that would be God with a peacock feather. I'll tell you, this is like just a story that came on. It came to my mind with my friend from college, Ikshobhya. And I eventually joined in Dallas, Texas. And then at that time, there was a young boy who was worshipped as God, called Guru Maharaji. Later ran off with his secretary, but at that time, he was worshipped as God. And so he had an event in the Astrodome, and the devotees went to protest that this person, there was a lot of people protesting, but the devotees went to protest doing kirtan, and the Rolling Stone had a line that I still remember. But the real opposition was from the Hare Krishnas, whose something enthusiasm belied their frail looks. The devotees were so enthusiastic. And then somehow Prabhupada made a comment, because this God, you know, he came up, and one of his disciples who was upset with him threw a pie in his face. And then Prabhupada would say, God with pie in his face? The problem was heavy. I kick on his face with boot. God with pie in his face. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya, that being which no greater can be conceived. So now it's explaining his opulence. Out of his own sweet will, he creates and annihilates. He creates innumerable universes as one of his pastimes. He is the Lord of lords and supremely independent. He appears in whatever form he desires. Who is there who will disobey him? Meaning, if there is an absolute truth, it's not, and I always make that point, it's not determined by our desires and opinions. It's independent of us. That's why, in one sense, I'm not going to go into this in deeply, but in one sense, the argument, the argument against God's existence, which is the problem of evil, which is a strong argument against God's existence, proves God's existence, because it means that there is a truth that's independent of evolution, independent of opinions, independent of desires. There's a truth. And when you're in spiritual life, you're looking for the truth. A man of character is a person who follows the truth. So there is an absolute truth, and it's obvious that it's not relative. Because when you see the horrible things in the world, no one is thinking that this is evolutionary wrong. We think that it's absolutely wrong, independently wrong, transcendently wrong. So who can disobey that? Who can disobey the truth? And if you do, you suffer. We all want that. We want the people who disobey the truth to be held responsible. We may have so many ideas, but ultimately, we feel there's a truth, and we don't want people in society to violate that, because they'll cause harm. So who can disobey that? Nevertheless, all of his forms are supreme truth. He manifests such glorious forms to deliver the living entities. So the concept of avatara, one who descends, God descends, he creates the world, and the world has a function or theme. And the theme of the world is liberation. The theme is the one idea that connects everything else, even though apparently independent. If you have a book, there's a theme. When I write my Monday morning greetings, the strength is that it is focused. There is one idea that I'm expressing, and every word and every paragraph is connected to that idea. And a book. A book has an idea, not two themes. It has one theme, it may have sub-themes. A good class has a theme. So the world has a theme, and whether it is bhoga, material enjoyment, or it is moksha, liberation, or it's bhoga, enjoyment, and liberation, the world has two things according to the Yoga Shastra. Yoga Sutras, bhoga and moksha. But bhoga is also for moksha. God gives us enjoyment to let us be frustrated to give up that enjoyment. So there's a theme. And God comes to pursue the theme. I'm reading the Bhagavatam. I just read the third chapter. And the incarnations, and each one has a different focus, a different perspective. One comes to give knowledge, one comes to annihilate the Kshatriyas, Parashuram, 20 generations of treachery is he or not? And this person comes for that, and Prithu, and this and that, and Veda Vyas, and that. But they have one theme, different forms, and that's to deliver the living entities. But that's what this is all about. That's what the coronavirus is about. That's what the Sankirtan movement's about. That's what karma is about. And that's what our lives is about. It's about liberation. That's the purpose. That's what enjoyment is about. We have some enjoyment in life. We like food. We like dance. We like music. We may enjoy it. It's okay. But everything has to be connected to that point to give it validity, because that's the goal. Age, that's what I'm seeing. Age. I'm kind of healthy, you know, that somehow I don't know what's inside, with, you know, but at least now I've been healthy. I had good health. But 70 years old, the age. This year I'll be 70. The age is coming, and I'm thinking, wow, what is the change of body for? What is the age for? It's God telling me to get serious. Trust no future, however pleasant. Get serious. That's my message. That's the voice I'm hearing. Destiny is the language of God. That's what I'm hearing about this too. Get serious. It's happened before in life. There's been plagues, there's been wars. America has been charmed in many ways, as opposed to Europe, what they go through sometimes, and other countries, the Middle East. But there's a message. And it's a beautiful message. The message is, you're not the controller. That's a beautiful message. Because being the controller could never make us happy, because it disconnects us from the soul. The only thing that can make us happy is if we imbibe the consciousness that I am a servant of Guru and Krishna. And whatever it takes to get to that point, it's worth it. Without understanding this fact, some sinful persons ruin themselves by calling the Lord a gopi. So we just had Mahaprabhu dances as a gopi. So if people think that that is mundane, and don't understand that he's God, then you'll take it in the wrong way. You'll take it that he's an ordinary person. So he's saying, no, this is the person whom everything emanates from. And these activities are not under karma, they're under lila. They're pastimes. And what does pastimes mean? The ultimate reality, rasa vai saha. The ultimate reality is rasa. It's transcendental bliss in love, in exchange with the Supreme Beloved, in harmony. Because there's one nityo nityanam, Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yo Vididati Kaman. There's one Supreme Eternal, there's many Supreme Eternals. There's one Supreme Living Force, there's many living forces. Eko Bahunam Yo Vididati, but the one maintains the other. So there is harmony, because we're all part of an absolute reality. And the difficulty is when we want to be the absolute reality. Because that disconnects us from love, and that disconnects us from ourself. So, So we may misunderstand that God is like us, that it's different. By hearing about the Lord's wonderful dance as a gopi, which is the treasure of the four Vedas, one attains devotional service. Krishna bhakti hoy iha korila shravana. Abhuta gopika nitya. Abhuta, wonderful. Gopika, the dance as a gopi, which Chari Veda Dad, which is the treasure, the wealth of the Vedas. Shravanam, if you hear about this in the right way, then you get Krishna Bhakti. Because if you hear it with the right understanding, you'll feel it. And you'll become attracted to it. And you'll want to serve it. So that brings bhakti into the heart. And this is such a nice point, how important it is to have tattva, or philosophical understanding. Without philosophical understanding, not gyanic detail, but basic understanding, firm, what's called sambandha gyan, understanding very clearly we are not the body, understanding clearly that we're not God, understanding clearly that God is not matter. That fundamental understanding, which is 80% of the scriptures, when we understand that and then look at the pastimes of God and understand that this is God, it will sprout within our hearts a desire to serve God. It'll sprout within our hearts to actually be who we are. We have everything. We're just not satisfied with that. Isn't it an amazing fact? We have everything right now to achieve perfection. We're a soul in relationship to the Supreme and to serve Him. But we struggle because of our samskaras and our karma, etc. And we enter into a purificatory process. And age helps it. Coronavirus helps it. In that pastime, Nityananda Prabhu played the role of an elderly gopi, while Gaurachandra took the form of goddess Lakshmi. Whenever Gaurachand enjoys pastimes in a particular form, Nityananda assumes a form suitable for those pastimes. The Lord became a gopi, and Nityananda became an elderly lady. Who can understand this other than one who has realization of it? And again, that same analogy. A young girl who's not mature can't understand romance. You have to come to a certain level of realization to actually be able to comprehend and perceive something in the proper perspective. But we can hear these pastimes when we hear it from the proper person and it's couched in tattva and a philosophical understanding. Then we can also have some access to it. Someone may consider Nityananda a yogi, someone could consider him a devotee, and someone may consider him a jnani. They may say whatever they like. Even if Nityananda is a most insignificant servant of Lord Chaitanya, I would still keep his lotus feet in my heart. There's a kind of sub-theme that goes through the Chaitanya Bhagavat. The mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur is the niece of Srivas Pandit. I think it's the Srivas Pandit's wife, Malini, her mother, daughter. So he's almost in family of Srivas Thakur, who Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda stayed at his house. And I guess it's within, even after Lord Nityananda, because he was this Avadhut Chandra, this moon-like Avadhut, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was on the planet, there was a great devotee who was an Avadhut called Vamsidas Babaji, who I think he used to visit, but who was completely contrary to social mores. If you studied him through your analysis, you would reject him. But the great soul could actually understand his position. He can understand his position. So Nityananda was, and throughout this Chaitanya Bhagavat, he's going to demonstrate who he is, because Lord Chaitanya himself would practically worship Lord Nityananda, although Nityananda was in the mood of his servant. And that's the most important quality. If one has that quality, it supersedes all other qualities. I am a servant of Guru and Krishna. And from that quality, other qualities will come. One will gradually become purified. Of course, Lord Nityananda is Balaram, but he's on this very, his ecstasy is just overwhelming. And that's also described on the platform of Samadhi in Ashtanga Yoga. The last two stages are Dhyana and Samadhi. And the differences is very subtle, because in the platform of Dhyana, the meditation is without break. It's described like when you pour some ghee or oil, there's no space in between the droplets. So what's the difference between that and samadhi? The difference is, in the seventh stage of Ashtanga Yoga, there is cognizance that there is something outside. In Dhyana, your concentration is full, but there's cognizance outside. So in the highest stages of prema bhakti, one can become absorbed in a way that you're not cognizant of what's outside. And therefore, you may be misunderstood. Therefore, they give the example, if Lord Nityananda is going into a bar or a place of alcohol, you may see it that he's going to drink, but actually he's going to enlighten the fallen soul. So you can project so many things. And you'll have to also understand, and this is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that there are different spiritual personalities. People have different natures. And there's one good example that's given. One is described like one is described as the pond in the petal, and one is described as the volcano in the ocean. Pond in the pebble, any little thing that hits the water, there's ripples. Volcano in the ocean, you may not see that. You may see that influence. So it's described, there's different personalities. Some personalities, every little thing, you can see it externally, and they're a pure devotee. And other personalities, like Prabhupada sometimes, he didn't easily exhibit his external ecstasy. Sometimes he lost consciousness in front of the devotees or began crying. He was like the volcano in the ocean. So there are different personalities. It's not that you become pure and you become the same thing. The example I like is that there's different shapes of metal, and they can become the same when you put them in fire. They can become heat and light, but they maintain their shape. And that is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. that there are different types of personalities. Those who are sinful-minded because of their previous misdeeds Okay, for you peace-loving devotees that want everything touchy-feely, just hold on to your seats now. Therefore, I kick the head of any sinful person who disregards the glories of Lord Nityananda and dares to criticize him. The topics of the Madhyakanda, wherein Lord Narayan's dance in the form of Lakshmi are narrated, are just like a shower of nectar. The Lord danced in the mood of a mother and taught devotional service. He then fulfilled everyone's desire. There was a wonderful effulgence manifest for 7 days at the home of Acharya Ratna. It appeared that the moon, sun, and lightning were simultaneously illuminating the house. Those who came to Acharya Ratna's house were unable to open their eyes. It was so brilliant. People inquired, why do our eyes become blinded when we open them in Acharya's house? On hearing this, the Vaishnavas became jubilant at heart, but they did not offer any explanation. Lord Chaitanya's potencies are most confidential, yet no one can understand how this is so. In this way, Gaurchanda enjoyed inconceivable pastimes with the devotees in Navadvip. O brothers, hear the descriptions of the activities and places of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes in Madhyakanda. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Chanda Pahujan Vrindavan Das Tachu Padi Yugajan. Accepting Chaitanya Nityananda Prabhu as my life and soul, I, Vrindavan Das, sing the glories of their lotus feet. So somehow I finish the chapter now and I have 11 more minutes, although I could go over. Would anybody like to share? We'll do this. First, if people, anybody wants to share a reflection, something in the class that they remembered.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay.
It's Bhakti.
Bhakti.
Well, there are so many great messages in this lesson. So thank you so much, especially about, you know, it's kind of like the message of shape up or ship out. And, you know, just the fact that the pastimes are endless is very comforting. I just have to ask, the guy who threw the pie, is he the one who went on to throw the pies in all the politicians' faces years later?
No, I don't know. I don't think so. No. It was one of his disciples, no.
Oh.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Anybody else like to share a reflection and then we can have some questions?
Hare Bol Maharaj, it's Shminajaya.
Wow, Hare Krishna, yeah.
Hare Krishna, thank you. It's a wonderful class, so many reflections. But I think I really love most the point of view making that the world has a theme. The theme is to get us out of this world. And so looking at everywhere from every avatar to everything that happens in our life, the theme is always and always, always again, turn to Krishna, get out. I really love that so much. Thank you.
It's so tough to realize. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Aaron.
Yeah.
I love your story about your realization that Krishna must be supreme if he can be God and manage a family too, as all of us are trying to balance our sadhana with work and homeschooling. I try to imagine what that would be like if my job was being God and had 16,000 families to take care of. And it's really, really proves omnipotence. Thank you.
Right. I guess the difference between Krishna and Aaron is Krishna has a Leela Shakti. So the Leela Shakti takes care of everything else. Even Krishna expands as Balaram, who serves in all affairs of existence and knowledge. So whatever expands by Krishna is for Leela and for pastimes. But but that really struck me, you know, that because I'm not just thinking of the burden of family life, I'm thinking of love in different relationships, and how can you deny that in God, the love in different relationships? Of course, his relationships are perfect, and you know, his job is, I guess with the king, but, you know, also he manifests in 16,108 forms. Okay. Thanks, Aaron. Anybody else share some reflection?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Thakurani.
Oh, Hare Krishna. Yes.
Kind of what Yamuna Jaya just said, that the world has a theme, and at the end it always comes to the point that we're not the controller. And that we already have everything and we're just not satisfied with it. So we already have the relation, we just need to come to it.
Yeah, that's the way I look at the world. It's not easy. We do have attachments. We have some samskaras that are so strong and deep in our hearts. You know, there are alcoholics, there are drug addicts, but we have even if we don't have that addiction, we have other things. And we can't control the world. It doesn't conform to our desires. And suffering is when we lose our attachments, when things move against the way we want. The only solace is, one, content with what we have and shifting our consciousness to service so that the world changes, but the opportunity for service doesn't. And we just have to see what that is. And that's how I kind of look at the world. I'm doing the, it's ideal here. I bless Kadamba Mala. The facility she gave me here is just ideal. And, you know, all meals are here and everything is here. There's even a temple room on my floor with Tulsi. So I was doing my deity worship, and while the Lord is eating, I'm reading a chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You know, just the verses in Sanskrit and then looking at them in English. But that's what it says, you know. We have to become equal in happiness and distress. We have to, be indifferent to what is heard and not heard. And sthita di muni, one who's actually fixed, becomes, you know, on this platform. So it's the message. It's the message. Because no matter what we do, you know, what's happening now is a tragedy. Difficulties are when, you know, things move a little bit, you know, against our way. But when there's a shift in the world, like I read this book by, Salman Rushdie? Freedom at Midnight, what happened during partition, and you're uprooted from your home. And, you know, this is the history of the world, you know, but it happens to everyone because we die, you know, and there's disease and so many things. So it's just a wake-up call to try to make that shift. Let's put it this way, to make the shift for your happiness from just things to consciousness. Because things you can't control, consciousness you can. Okay, anyone else like to say? We have a few more minutes. Okay, if anyone just would like to say hello, we can.
Hare Krishna.
Okay,
go ahead, Lisa.
Lisa said.
Just wanted to say that it was a really nice image of you home on a Saturday night reading Krishna book.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, okay, good. Yeah, I remember the house too where I was doing that. Thank you. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, that's Lisa?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I love your definition of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the character of the life force in eternality.
Isn't that great? That's actually from Prabhupada in the introduction to the CC, you know? And it really is so impregnated with meaning when you can actually envision the pastime like that, that this is what's actually, this is the eternal life. Yeah, thank you. That's great. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Tiffany. Wanted to say it's so wonderful to see your face and thank you so very much for this class. It's such a beautiful addition to my sadhana. And I also wanted to ask if you could tell us which book and chapter you're on in Chaitanya Bhagavat so we can follow
along. We're going to start chapter 19. those of you who know, I also just have a phone class on Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, which I've been doing for 12 years. People on that Sangha have heard 600 or 700 classes. So it's a really nice Sangha. But we're starting in chapter now. Now it will be chapter 19. Wow, can't wait. Okay, thank you. And Tiffany, you have such a sweet and soothing voice filled with...
Oh, thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj, it's Kala.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
I'm sure you appreciate the Leelas, the pastimes.
Yeah, they're my favorite. I loved how you say that they're the ultimate reality because it's rasa, no? The transcendental bliss and love in the relationship with God. So yeah, I'm fascinated. Thank you so much.
Okay, good. We have to become attracted to these pastimes. That's actually why Krishna appeared. Otherwise, we'll become attracted to other relationships separate from God. There's nothing wrong with our relationships in the world, but we connect them with God. They're meant to satisfy us and make us peaceful, actually. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Lal Govinda.
And Praja.
We'll see you today, okay?
Yeah.
Yep.
Thank you.
Okay. Do you guys do anything else but listen to phone sanghas and classes?
Not really.
Okay. What a life. Huh? It's almost like Vrindavan. I say Vrindavan's a spiritual world because no one has a job. No one has to work. So in a sense now, this is also becoming the spiritual world. No one's working. Just hearing about Krishna. Okay. Anybody else?
Good morning, this is Isabel, and I just wanted to say thank you very much. This is a great way to start the morning, especially during these times, and I'm happy to have joined today. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You were at the Bhakti Immersion, right, Isabel?
Yes, I was.
Okay, great. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. It's Jackie Shorey.
Hare Bhav. Amala.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, in today, maybe I'll give you a call later on.
Okay. Okay, I'll be here.
Okay, just send me your number again, just in case. Anybody else?
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, Gail here.
Hare Bo, Gail. You have a question?
I do. Is there time? It's okay, Maharaj. I can hold it all.
Okay, yeah, because I have some things here. Okay, anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Sri Gandharika.
Thank you again. Hearing is such a nice service. I was describing to someone that when we serve a Vaishnava, there's two ways to serve. One is called Paricharya and one is called Parishevana, I think. Paricharya means, you know, nice service, physical service. We cook for them and do so many things. Parishevana means we hear from them. And of the two, hearing is considered the best because it also engages that person in service. So when you hear from someone, you give that person a chance to talk about Krishna. So rather than just receiving service, that person also gets to serve. Okay, thank you. Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Jagannath Priya.
Oh, wow, Haribo, good. Greetings to Gokarna. Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. She's in India, which her little town, though, seems to be sane. I wouldn't like to be in other places when things explode, but that seems to be okay. Anybody else? Okay. Anyway, thank you all for coming. On Sunday, I'll give a class called Overcoming Justified Hate, something, the yoga of forgiveness. I'm going to talk about forgiveness in terms of bhakti and spirituality. So that's about 11 o'clock. And then the next in the morning on Sunday too. Okay, thanks everyone. Hare Krishna.